The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. So when he heard this, that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." And Martha replied, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and was deeply troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could he not have done something now that he opened the eyes of the blind man?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone," said Jesus. But Martha said, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. It has been 4 days since he died." But Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, tied hand and foot to burial bands, his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go free." Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let me spend these few moments looking at the Gospel of John, since we are anchored into John's Gospel today here in chapter 11, dealing with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. All four Gospels have one primary intention, and that is to speak to us in revealed word the teaching that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one foretold in the Old Testament. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, Redeemer of the world. The primary teaching of all four Gospels. Therefore, it's not biography. We're not told the exact time when Jesus was born or when he died. We're not told about his diet, how he looked. Jesus is Lord and Savior, the Messianic, the one foretold in the Hebrew Scriptures. The second thing to keep in mind is that it's not scholarship that teaches us through the Scriptures. The invitation is to meet and encounter in a very personal way Jesus the Christ. It's not so much to learn about Jesus, it's to meet, to touch, to experience, to belong to the person of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Word of God, and that's the invitation of the Word of God, to allow us to touch the fringes of His garment, to belong to the person of Jesus Christ, to feel, to touch, to experience in a very personal way Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Keeping that in mind, we'll now look at the Gospel of John. If you look at your Bible in the Gospel of John, scholars have divided John's Gospel into four parts. You have a prologue, very brief prologue, and then you have the Book of Signs, from chapter 2 up to chapter 11. Then you have the Book of Glory, the Passion, Death, Resurrection of Jesus, and then you have the fourth part, which is chapter 21, post-resurrection appearance of Jesus, called the appendix. So now, in today's gospel, we are anchored into the Book of Signs. And the sign, John calls the miracle a sign. It's meant to teach us about something that isn't immediately apparent in the moment. There are seven signs. Lazarus is the seventh sign. So let me just spend a few moments looking at the signs and the teaching of the signs. The first sign, you will remember the wedding feast at Cana, turning water into wine, 120 gallons of wine. That's a lot of wine. It's not meant to be taken literally. It's meant to teach us about the extravagant, incredible generosity of God meeting somebody in a time of crisis. The excessive love of God appearing in Jesus Christ. That's the teaching of Cana. The second sign happens also at Cana, and it's an outsider, a royal official who doesn't belong, he's a stranger. And he comes to Jesus and said, "My son is dying, please come and heal him." He believed, even though he wasn't belonging to the company of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Outsider that you are, go home, your son will live." And his son is healed, and his son is well. The second sign that Jesus reaches out to those beyond the pale of everything familiar. Third sign, very interesting, it happens at Bethsaida in Jerusalem. And this man is 37 years sick by the pool of Bethsaida, paralytic. Jesus asked him a strange question. Do you want to be healed? Not everybody wants to be healed. If you want to be healed, Jesus will heal you. But if you have a grudge, if you're angry, you're carrying a bitterness, you are divided from somebody, you are a walking victim, and you want to be a victim because you deserve to be angry. You have a right to be bitter. You have every reason to be divided from that person. Do you want to be healed? No, I don't want to be healed. You know, it happens in marriage sometimes. Is everything okay? It's fine. What's that mean? It means it's okay? It means no, I don't want to be healed right now.
I want to hold this against you right now. Later on, we'll be healed. So this is the teaching about, do you want to be healed? Wherever you are in your life, you must want to be healed. You must see your wound, and you must want to be healed in order to get the healing of Jesus. The teaching about the third sign. The fourth sign is the feeding of the multitude. Chapter 6 in John. It's a type of the Eucharist. Jesus gives a long talk about the Eucharist. He feeds 5,000. The welcoming, the openness, the immersion, the inclusion of everybody. How do you qualify to be fed by Jesus? You have to be hungry. You don't have to merit. You don't have to earn it. You have to be hungry. And this is a type, a foreshadowing of the Eucharist. Are you hungry for the Eucharist? By the way, the Eucharist is not just communion. Since the very beginning of my time here, I've told Eucharistic ministers, when you bring the Eucharist to a homebound person, it's not just communion. You bring the dog, you bring the cat, you bring the children, you bring the bulletin, you bring news. You bring patient healing, you bring listening, whatever. Eucharist is life. And those who are seeking life in the multitude of 5,000, they are fed. And Jesus gives a long discourse on the Eucharist. And the next sign after that, number 5, is the calming of the waters on the Sea of Galilee. The power of Jesus Christ, power over the elements of nature. And then the sixth sign we had last Sunday's gospel, the man born blind wanted to be healed. In a way, we're all born blind. I have a friend who is 94 years old, extremely wealthy man. He has one son who is also very wealthy. His biggest anxiety, taxes. Seriously, he's angry about taxes. The millionaire's tax, whatever it is. Is he blind? Is he missing something? I spoke about Makoto Fujimura, this Japanese artist, a few weeks ago, to see with your eyes and to see through your eyes. See with your eyes, the poor are a burden. They're getting too much, our taxes are going up. See with your eyes, undocumented people are a burden. They're all criminals, they're people we don't want. They're undesirables. Ah. But see, with your eyes, you see real people hurting, wounded, in need of something that I can give. You see undocumented people, many of them decent, honorable, wonderful people who gift our community. So who is blind and who would like to see? You know that person that hurt you, wounded you? Could you see where the wound was coming from? The person was passing on to you the wound that person received. Can you see that? So Jesus gives sight to the man who is blind, and perhaps sight to us when we are blind. And the seventh sign is today's gospel. Now, James Martin, in his interesting book, argues persuasively that Lazarus must have been handicapped or else a person of special needs, because he doesn't fit the culture of the time. He's living with his two sisters, and therefore there's something exceptional about him. But Jesus loved him. Now, when Jesus comes to heal him, Martha and Mary, devout convinced followers of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, they doubt. If you had been here, my brother would never have died. Have we ever said that? Where is God? How come God does this to me? I'm a believer. I'm Martha. I'm Mary. If only you had been here, my brother would never have died. And Jesus says, if you believe, you will see. And it says Jesus becomes perturbed. I spoke about this a few weeks ago. Splanxitsomai is the Greek. Splankna means your entrails. You say, I'm sick to my stomach. I mean, that's trauma. Jesus is caught in a trauma here at the grave of Lazarus. He breaks down. And then he calls Lazarus forth from the tomb to claim life. Now, why is this so extraordinary and the greatest miracle of the public life of Christ? The Jews believed that the soul would hover over the grave for 3 days. And after 3 days, putrefaction set in, the body was disfigured, and the soul would no longer recognize the body, and the soul would leave. Therefore, he wasn't dead. He was very dead. I mean, he was gone. And the power of Jesus, the giver of all life, brings him back to life. I've also wondered, he's a little guy. He's the person that's not noticed. He's not famous. He's remarkable because of his humanity. And he's the one to whom Jesus gives life. So, I would like to make a suggestion and ask a question. Do you think that the only way in which you can experience Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is in your brokenness and in your weakness? Must you be blind? Must you be paralyzed? Must you be bitter? What is it? Must we be broken and see our brokenness and see our emptiness before we can see Jesus Christ and taste and feel and belong to the person of Jesus Christ? Not only do you have to know your brokenness, you have to accept and honor your brokenness. You know the wounds you carry? You'll never know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as healer, as the one who gives life, unless you see your own limitations. The second suggestion I'd like to make is that we're leading up to Easter now. We have Palm Sunday coming up. Look at the Gospel of John. The signs are very easy to find, chapter 2 through chapter 11 in John's Gospel. Select a sign that makes sense to you, that touches your life. Read the story of that sign and ask the Lord to touch you with new life. Is it anger you're struggling with? Struggling to forgive? Is your life empty? Are you in a tomb of darkness? Are you wondering if you're welcome to the Eucharist? Do you feel left out? Do you feel unworthy? Even though you're hungry, you're unworthy. Read the sign and listen to the power of Jesus Christ, infinite love. I mean, there's no condemnation. There's no discrimination, there's no division in these signs, all signs of God's great embrace of love. So as a spiritual preparation toward Easter, consider taking the Gospel of John and reading the sign that most relates to you and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I mean, how do you feel and sense and belong to the person of Jesus Christ in the sign? Amen.